the 4% rule, and the three-legged stool. Back in the day, those simple strategies did the trick in retirement, but we're not living back in the day. And the problems facing today's retirees demand modern solutions. That's why you're here. Welcome to Modern Money with founder and CEO of PCB Financial Advisory Group, Peter Bambara.
And welcome back, everyone, back into the program. We are so glad that you are here for the Modern Money Show with President of PCB Financial Group, Peter Bambara. What a week it's been, Peter. I hope you're doing good. We got a lot to get to today.
Absolutely. A lot to cover today. We're going to have a great show today. I'm really, really excited about it, actually. Let's rock and roll.
Well, we're throwing a little bit of an audible because Congress in the last week has thrown an audible. This is very live, very new, and very up to date. They are talking Social Security reform in a bipartisan kind of way. And you don't hear that word very often when it comes to the things happening in Washington, D.C. They are talking about raising the full retirement age for Social Security to the age of 70, meaning if this passes, it would require Americans to wait until they are 70 to collect their full retirement benefits. Now, current rules, I think, have full retirement age, Peter, at 66 to 67, depending on when you were born.
Yeah.
What would this mean for the program? I mean, obviously, Social Security is in an ailing spot right now. Too many people need it. Not enough people are paying into it. And I think by 2035, they are worried it will pay something like 70 cents on the dollar. They have to do something. Do you like this plan?
So there's definitely a lot of pros and cons involved. Some are going to kind of be upset because they're probably going to get a nice little haircut if they have to wait that long. Because yeah. Think about it, if you could have just had it at 66 or 67, give or take, whatever the date of birth was, that's your full retirement age. But now we're talking about extending that and pushing it over to age 70. Now you have to wait till 70 to get your full benefit. And some for sure is going to argue, but the thing is, they are more concerned about the 2032, 35 scenario where yeah. they're going to see an enormous amount of issues when it comes to the survival rate of Social Security for themselves, because they're now looking at it as, if that does happen, if we do not make these changes, then we're going to have to solely rely on payroll taxes to fund the system. And that's going to probably cause some major issues.
Well, and you have to wonder, Peter, if this would go through. And you know, anytime that you see bipartisan support for anything, you have to wonder, what do they know that we don't know? They've gone in there and really looked at the numbers, is my guess. But you would have to wonder, would this be beginning in 2025 or 2027? So that, to your point, if you are 66, 67, and you're planning on taking it, hopefully those people would somehow be grandfathered in. I feel like if this thing hits and goes through, and that's a lot of ifs, but if this goes through and 70 is the new full retirement age, you can't really pull the rug out from under people who are 67 and planning on retiring. You hope that this would be something that they would give us plenty of time before implementing the new rules, but we don't know.
Yeah, we have no idea. I mean, I feel that a lot of people are going to be upset for sure. And some might even say that they might get worried and take it even sooner because they don't know what those new payouts are going
right.
to be, you know? I think this is going to cause a lot of noise. I think this is going to cause a lot of issues. But hey, look, they know the numbers. You know, if they feel that this is going to help extend the benefits across the nation when it comes to collecting Social Security, this might be one of the things that they had to fix, you know, and I'm all about it. I mean, if it's going to last much longer than projected, then I'm definitely all about it. But it's going to cause a lot of problems
yeah.
for sure.
So one of the other ideas currently on the table would be also in tandem with raising that full retirement age to 70, also requiring high-income Americans to pay more in Social Security payroll taxes. Currently, the tax only applies to wages up to $160,000 and a little bit of change. Under this proposal, they are also looking at requiring high-income Americans to pay even more. I think they're looking at attacking this maybe, Peter, from one, two, or three different angles, because that's how much trouble that system is in.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to try to figure out how to get as much tax dollars back into Social Security. They're going to try to figure that out, how to extend it, making sure it does not go out 2032 to 2035, give or take.
Yep.
They're going to do whatever they possibly can. And then we're going to see – this is not going to be the first time we're hearing this. I'm telling you, over the next couple of years, we're going to see more and more changes, more strategies being taken away from Social Security, file suspend was gone, and so on and so forth. So we're going to see all of these changes creep up as we get closer and closer and closer to 2030 and so on.
So listen to this. A recent Congressional Budget Office report projected Social Security's combined funds may run out. You hit the nail on the head, Peter, in 2033. That is 2 years sooner than they estimated last year. So last year they were saying it's 2035. This year they are saying, eh, it's looking like closer to 2033. Once those depletion dates are reached, it would mean your benefit would be cut to 23% or by 20%. Respectively, changes to prevent those cuts, though, could have a profound effect on Americans' retirement and the United States wealth distribution. Here's the deal. If they end up, because of the kind of crisis we're in with Social Security, cutting that benefit 23%, that is a real bad outcome, Peter, for so many people who rely on Social Security, which is why we are talking to you today. You can no longer rely on that money like that three-legged stool we used to talk about, right? With your savings, your pension, and Social Security. The benefit is going down.
That is 100% correct. I mean, too many people rely on Social Security. First, it was relying on the pension system, and then we saw slowly, and that started to go away. And everyone's relying on Social Security. And I keep telling so many folks, especially the younger generation, don't even think that it could be there in the future. Just make believe that it's not there, right? Make believe it's not there. But it's so important to understand how your investments are communicating with each other to help complement each other, because Social Security, unfortunately today, is a very, very, very high percentage of income for most families, and that's going to become a disaster.
So I want to give our listeners an understanding of the type of money and the type of cut we could be talking about with lawmakers considering this full retirement age again to age 70. Quoting here from the Director of Social Security and Disability Policy at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, her name is Kathleen Romig. She says, this is absolutely a benefit cut. The change, if enacted, would result in a 20% benefit cut across the board to lifetime benefits. She said people who retire at 62, the earliest eligibility age, would see a 43% reduction from their full benefit. So let me lay out the numbers for our listeners. A $1,000 benefit, if you retired at 62, would be reduced to $570. It will be very difficult, Peter, for most people to absorb that type of cut. It really is an incentive then to keep working. Don't dip out at 62, is it not?
Oh, 100%. So many people, believe it or not, work until 65 just because of the medical, okay? And when it comes to saving for additional income, one thing that really bothers me is when I talk to some folks, they tell me that they want to start to collect at 62, even when they are working.
Yep.
Now, in most cases, that doesn't make any sense. In most cases, it doesn't make sense. But everybody's different, right? But all you're really doing is paying more taxes now, if you understand how this works. So if you're able to defer it, obviously, it's a great plan. It's a great idea. Everybody is different. Everyone's unique in their own situations. But this is why we have to do the income plan and analysis. We have to understand that if we input this into our software and the calculator comes back on a number of different scenarios, it'll tell us the best possible options based upon variations that there are.
So listen to this, Peter. In 2021, 3 out of 10 Social Security beneficiaries claimed at age 62. Does that surprise you? Three out of 10 claimed at 62.
That's actually ain't that bad, you know? So 3 out of 10 is not that bad.
But for the three who did, you always have to come back and ask the question, is your money going to last? And maybe for all three
correct.
Out of 10, the money's going to last. I get really nervous when we start talking about 62. I don't want to wait till 70 to retire. 62 would worry me that my money would not last, that I'm taking the money too early.
That's definitely too early. That's definitely too early. It's almost like saying, what kind of a financial plan have you built to get you to retirement? And believe it or not, so many folks have not gotten around to it. You know, and I meet a lot of people on a daily basis, and some have been retired a year, 6 months ago, 5 years ago, and they just never got around with it. And that's also another major issue, because putting your plan together has pretty much almost everything to do with your future income.
Yeah.
What income sources are you choosing? When to activate Social Security? How do you set it up from your investments? How they communicate with each other? So that pretty much tells me that we need to make sure we are planning way ahead, just so you're not making those mistakes on when to choose and when to activate Social Security.
Well, maybe those 3 out of 10 in 2021 were bajillionaires. We don't know. Maybe they were really, really wealthy and it didn't even matter when they claim it or whether they claim it. And we will hope that that's the case. I don't know that I'm going to be in a position to take it at 62, 64, 65, 67. My husband and I were just talking about this the other day. And remind Peter people, they can't give you advice, but you can go to SSI.gov and request your Social Security printout, and it will tell you to the penny what you should expect if you retire at these different ages, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I tell everybody all the time, go online and look. It's a government website. You're protected. Don't worry about it. Don't do it when you're not home. Do it when you're home on a secure network, but make sure you download your report and look at your projections. But make sure you download not just once, but do it over the next couple of years,
right?
So you understand if you're on track.
The phone number is 1-800-880-8079, or we have so much information for you on a variety of topics that we discuss on the program at pcbfinancial.com, pcbfinancial.com. One of the things we are going to get to today, Peter, we have a list of best states to retire in coming up. I think some of those will surprise you. And then this, most near retirees have not met with a retirement professional, and that could cost them. A survey by Retirable, a financial planning company, surveyed 2,000 Americans age 55 and older, so a decent survey size sample, to get a sense of how they plan to spend retirement. 60% reported they do not feel like they have enough money to last them through retirement, and only 27% said they are confident that their savings will last throughout their lifetime. Those are not good statistics, Peter.
Wow. And you know what? I heard something similar to that as well not too long ago. And I feel like those stats, they're not getting better for some reason.
Right.
They're not going to – and I don't know how they're basing these stats on and how much data they're doing. And I know they're doing different data on an ongoing basis. But it's kind of very similar, but it doesn't sound like it's getting better.
And the problem is we're not getting any younger. And so you worry that those numbers will get worse, which is why if you have questions, even if you think you have questions, please give Peter a call. Will your money last as long as you do? 1-800-880-8079 or go to pcbfinancial.com. We have much more for you on the program straight ahead. Stick with us.
Just as the seasons come and go, so too do the markets ebb and flow. If market volatility is making you nervous, give Peter a call. Make sure you're not taking on more risk than you're comfortable with. Call 1-800-880-8079 to have a chat with Peter.
Peter Bambara at PCB Financial often talks about the difference between retirement savings and retirement income. It isn't necessarily how much money you've saved that's important. It's having a steady stream of income in retirement, no matter how long you live. Peter has strategies that can help you create consistent monthly income for the rest of your life. He can help you make important decisions today so you can have the income you need in retirement. Having a big nest egg is great, but how will it provide you with income you need for as long as you live? Call Peter Bambara at PCB Financial to find out. 1-800-880-8079. That's 1-800-880-8079. Turn your portfolio into a plan with help from Peter Bambara. 1-800-880-8079. Investing involves risk. Firm offers insurance services. Investment advisory services offered through PCB Capital, LLC.
Hey Hey, everyone. Welcome on back to the program. You are listening to the Modern Money Show with President of PCB Financial, Peter Bambara. I'm your host, Dana Wright. I want to remind everyone the phone number is 1-800-880-8079. 1-800-880-8079. You can always find us on the web, pcbfinancial.com. And remind everyone, Peter, they can text BOOK into the body of that phone number, 800-880-8079, and you will send them out a complimentary copy of your book.
Absolutely. Give me a call. We just got a nice stack, brand new files over here in the books. Give me a call and we'll send you out a nice signed copy.
So we had talked about this in an earlier segment that most near retirees admit they haven't even met with a retirement professional. And that is something that we know can be very, very costly. And I think sometimes, Peter, people are embarrassed or they are stressed out. They have anxiety over maybe not saving enough. What do you say to those clients?
Most people are actually scared. They don't want to know if they have made issues or created problems within their plan. Did they save enough? Is what we hear a lot about income planning. Look, what's scary is what you don't know. That's the scary part. Sitting down with a professional, it should not be scary. This is more of a guide, right? Are you on the right track? And if you're not, this is what you need to do to get back on track. And the faster you do it, the faster you're going to understand exactly what you need to do to give yourself some time. Don't do this when you're a year before retirement. Try to do it.
Do not come in when you're 62, Peter.
don't do it when you're very, very, very close. I would urge you to do it at least 5 to even 10 years out. 5 to 10 years out.
I was going to ask you, what is the sweet spot? What is that sweet spot, do you think? For people listening even in their late 40s, what would you say?
I would say the second you hit 50 to 55, boom, that's when you should be asking a lot of questions. Because some folks, believe it or not, they want to retire at 60. Now we're talking about, okay, how long do you wait before turning on Social Security at that point, right? Yeah. Some people I have spoken to and retired before 60, and they can't touch any of their retirement funds until 59 and a half. So everybody's different. Everyone's unique in their own way. But the second you hit 50, start asking a lot of questions. The second you hit 54, 55, right around that figure, that's when you should be start doing a lot of real deep analysis. Understanding what your future projections are, where your income, where you want to live, do you think you might stay where you are or leave the state, and so on and so forth. Attacking all of those debts. There's so much more to cover, but 5 to 10 years out is usually a good plan.
So a survey by Retirable, which is a financial planning company, surveyed 2,000 Americans age 55 and older to try and see how they plan to spend their retirement. 60% of those surveyed do not feel like they have enough money to last. And only 27% say they're confident of their savings lasting throughout their life. So the surveyors get into 10 questions you should be asking when you sit down with a financial advisor like yourself, Peter. And they're really good. We're going to go right down the list. This, I think, could be very helpful for anyone listening at any age, because I know you have questions. If I'm going to do this and if I'm going to call Peter or somebody else and we're going to sit down and get through the weeds of my finances and how much I need to retire, what are some of the things you should be asking your retirement planning professional? And let's just start with number one. What does your financial strategy include? And Peter, for you, what does that mean?
You know, this could be a number of different things, because we have to understand not just financial planning, right? Almost look at it as like a puzzle, okay? You have all these pieces of the puzzle. How do you start connecting them? So the financial strategy always has to include your income plan, right? Where's your income coming from? What does it look like? When does it come from certain areas and certain times when the markets are either good or bad? What happens in the event of a spouse loss and then we have a spouse protection? There's so many different scenarios here. So the income strategy is one strategy, but now we have to start talking about, okay, what about a tax plan? What about a tax strategy? Well, this is when you have proper communication with your tax professional and your advisor to make sure you guys are on track. Are there any tweaks you could do this year to help your future years complement yourselves?
Yeah.
So that is also very important. Then finally, is there a need for any updates on wills and trust? Well, now we have to have an attorney, right? So an attorney in the conversation should also be part of that retirement puzzle. So when it comes to financial strategy, it's all about a plan. If you do not have a plan, you do not have a strategy. It comes down to that.
So you are not an attorney. You are not a tax professional, but you have those people under your umbrella where you can say to clients, Peter, here, this isn't my wheelhouse. I know enough to be dangerous, but we're going to hand you off now to this professional where you can get your will and trust tied up.
Yes. And it's so important to make sure you're talking to someone who's a professional and licensed in that field, right? So we are not accountants. We'll recommend one to you. We're not attorneys. We'll recommend one to you. But we have relationships with quite a few of them. And I think that's really important, making sure you do have a relationship as an advisor with a multiple different teams, just so if one company is not available or they're too busy or they're not currently taking on new clients, well, now we have another company. So we have to make sure everybody is in connection with each other, because believe it or not, Dana, I ask a lot of folks one or two questions, such as, does your advisor communicate with your accountant? And the answer is usually no. Does your advisor communicate with your attorney? And the answer is usually no.
Yeah.
That's the missing puzzle. Making sure you have the correct pieces of the puzzle together for retirement is going to make sure everything's nice and smooth.
Can you describe your financial planning process? That's one of the questions you should be asking. And I would say if your financial advisor can't describe the process, you probably need to check that person off your list.
Yeah, you have to make sure you're communicating, okay? And a process could be a number of different things, right? So, and this is something that might not be communicated at that time. So when you're planning for retirement, for example, you want to understand, you want to ask the proper questions within your process of planning. What do you look for? What kind of questions you ask? Is there a questionnaire specifically more geared to retirement? What are your ultimate goals, right? So this process should complement you not just today, but over the next 20, 30 plus years, right? Putting a couple of things together today is just a starting point, right? That does not mean once you put this plan together, it's done, finished. You set it and forget it. It doesn't work like that. Unfortunately, you have to keep on reviewing this,
right?
Because things change, life changes, right? Your income changes, people pass away, and now you have a whole different plan put in place, long-term care and so on and so forth. So there's so many different things that can happen. But understanding what a process is today and then understand how the ongoing process works, that's really, really, really important when it comes to communication.
Here's a good question to be asking. How often will we meet to review and update my plan? That's probably going to be different for everybody, but Peter, generally, how often do you meet with people?
Minimum once a year. Minimum once. Believe it or not, when we have a crazy year of major volatility, we actually like to communicate more than once. We like to do it a number of times, believe it or not. But at a minimum, you just want to make sure you're on track, you're communicating, any kind of changes, any life changes, any major expenses happening anytime soon, or travel, and so on and so forth. Things happen. So that means everything needs to be updated. So just to make sure you're on track and just to make sure you are invested the way you want to be invested as time goes on.
And then a fair question that everyone should be asking, no matter who you go to see, is how do you get paid? We keep hearing the term fiduciary. That's thrown around in advertisements now all over cable TV. It's a fair question, Peter. How do you answer that?
Very good. So yes, you always want to ask whomever you are sitting with, how do you get paid? So this could be a number of different things. And just throw out a couple of different ideas. One, it could be a flat fee under the portfolio. This could be a fee, but also maybe depending upon what kind of funds you have, maybe the advisor also has commissions involved. Obviously, we do not like to promote the commission world. But when it comes to this space, this is also an option where an advisor can get paid. If you happen to be billed hourly, you could be billed hourly. But again, you want to make sure what's comfortable for you. Building a financial plan could cost an hourly rate for a short period of time, not permanently, just to put it together. It could be anywhere from $500 to as much as $3,000 to $5,000, depending upon what it is, but everybody's different. Then you could also have a relationship where there's no flat fee. You know, so it really all depends what you're comfortable with. But just make sure you understand and you lay it out on the table before you do anything in the sense of how do you get paid, just so you're both comfortable with that.
And then finally, what areas can you improve on within my current financial plan? And what blind spots do you currently see with my finances? Those are two great questions to ask. Once all of your information is handed over, What blind spots do you see with my finances, and what areas can you improve on with my current plan? That's great, yeah. Peter, because maybe someone met with a financial planner 8 years ago or 12 years ago. What can you do to make this better?
100%. So before you can actually find out if there's any concerns or what can you do better, you want to make sure you do what's called an analysis review, right? So we call this a stress test. So we want to go through the portfolio. We want to make sure that you're on track, of course. Yeah. And if anything that does catch our attention, we're going to share it with you. And we're going to go through it in more detail. And just making sure it's lining up with your goals. So if you're saying this, you want to make sure it's happening. If you're saying this, you want to make sure it's happening, and so on and so forth. So understanding your risk, understanding your income, what kind of return you need to generate the income that you want. All these things have to make sure your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted. So asking those questions are really, really good. But we have to first understand what's happening within that plan in order to make proper decisions going forward.
So here's a little bit of a statistic that bothers me, and I think I know some of the reason why. From the same study, Peter, on average, male respondents currently have $367,000 saved for retirement. Female respondents have $257,000. So substantial, significant drop there. I'm going to say those numbers again. Men who responded currently have about $367,000 saved. Women, 257. Now,
wow.
People will always make the argument that's because women sometimes dip out of the workforce to have babies and stay home and then get back in. You could make the argument that it's because women are not paid as much as men, toe-to-toe in many, many areas of the workforce. But the numbers are what they are according to this study. Here's the problem. On average, they ask that same male in this study, when do you want to retire? The males answered age 70. The females answered they believe they'll retire at 67. So despite the fact that women had much less saved in retirement, they are saying they would like to retire 3 years earlier. Is that problematic?
That's definitely an issue. Yeah, there's definitely a concern there for sure.
Because you have now, to know your numbers. I mean, yeah. if you have 257,000 saved, I mean, you would say this across the board, likely, Peter, that's not enough to probably get you to the finish line unless you have, a golden pot of money sitting somewhere else.
Yeah. And today, $257,000 is obviously not a lot of money anymore, right?
Right.
And it's probably not going to get you through retirement. But understanding what you need, it's almost like reverse engineering your plan, your lifestyle. And this is why it's so important that you are asking the right questions, right? You have to ask the right questions. How much do you think you would need before you retire? But understanding that these numbers, they're probably different today versus the next 5 or 10 years we
sure.
get it.
Sure.
There's a lot more women working and their incomes are also very high in certain cases. So it's definitely going to be different down the road. But this is definitely an eye-opener. It's definitely a huge, huge eye-opener.
1-800-880-8079. If you are asking the question, do I have enough to retire? 1-800-880-8079 or pcbfinancial.com. We're back with much more straight ahead.
This is your captain speaking. We're expecting fair skies, a smooth flight, and about a 85% chance or so of making it to our destination. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the rest of the flight.
Would you stay on that plane? Of course not. Well, do you have a retirement plan where you probably won't run out of money? You need a plan that no matter the destination will help you get to and through retirement successfully. Peter Bambara and the team at PCB Financial can design a plan to help you get to your destination as comfortably as possible, even if Wall Street or the economy causes some turbulence. Call Peter Bambara and the PCB Financial team to start working on your retirement plan today. 1-800-880-8079. Get a plan designed to allow you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the retirement you worked so hard for. 1-800-880-8079. Firm offers insurance services. Investment advisory services offered through PCB Capital, LLC. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.
We all love Uncle Sam, but let's face it, he's not really your uncle. To make sure you aren't paying more than your fair share in taxes, download Peter's free tax guide at themodernmoneyshow.com. That's themodernmoneyshow.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome on back to The Modern Money Show with President of PCB Financial Group, Peter Bombara. I'm your host, Dana Wright. You can call us at 1-800-880-8079. 1-800-880-8079. You can text book to that same number in the body of that text, and we will send out a complimentary copy to you of Peter's book, Modern Money Retirement in Any Economy. Yes, even this economy. And Peter, we're going to talk a little bit this segment about taxes. Never fun to talk about, but it's going to hit all of us in some form or fashion with respect to our retirement income. And we want to talk about how seven common sources of retirement income are taxed. Are you surprised at the number of people who come into your office, Peter, who don't even realize things like Social Security are most definitely going to be taxed?
Believe it or not, I kid you not, some people, not many, but some people actually say to me that their Social Security is not taxable. And I explain to them that that you're 100% going to be taxed at some shape or form,
right,
at some point in the future, depending upon the limits of your income, for sure. But a lot of people didn't know that. A lot of people did not know that. And so that just explains to you that that we definitely need more education around this field, around this area of finance when it comes to taxation. And also understand that two things here. There's a difference between tax planning and tax preparing.
Correct.
Right? And when you do your taxes, like especially around the season, when you file and do your taxes, well, it's very good time to also ask more questions when it comes to planning for future taxation.
So unlike during your working years, you are responsible for making sure taxes are paid on your retirement income from various sources. Think about it. When you work, your employer takes out those taxes. It's just automatically ripped out of your check every 2 weeks. In retirement, you are responsible for paying those taxes, and your cash flow could exceed your earnings pre-retirement. You may have fewer reductions to lower your taxes. So a withdrawal strategy that places you in the lowest possible tax bracket can really help manage the impact of taxes in retirement. Let's talk about how seven common sources of retirement income are taxed, Peter. Start us out with the 401k distribution. That is 100% going to be taxed.
Oh, without a doubt. So if your contributions were made with pre-tax dollars, the full amount of the distribution, it's going to be taxed at your ordinary income tax rate, right? So RMDs must be taken out annually based upon the new rule, which is 73. So those monies were never taxed before. You get, when you were working, you get that nice tax deduction, right? But now we have to pay those taxes. Uncle Sam wants to get paid his fair share. So we have to take a nice small portion. Hopefully that you have a plan around this. And unfortunately, those monies, when they come in, will be taxable income.
And required, that is what the R stands for, required minimum distributions in RMD. That R stands for required. You have to take that annually beginning at age 73. So if you're trying to kick that tax can down the road, they're going to get you eventually, aren't they, Peter?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, eventually they're going to want to change these rules again, but you have to make sure you are taking these out every single year going down.
Let's talk about the IRA and IRA distributions. That's a very attractive product for a lot of people because it's taxed differently. Explain that.
Yeah. So we have a couple of different ones here. Okay. So we have what's called a traditional IRA, right? So traditional IRAs, the contributions are considered pre-taxed, right? So all the distributions are subject to tax at your ordinary income tax rate, right? So we have to pay taxes on those monies that we never did before. Now, do not get this confused with a Roth IRA. Roth IRA, the contributions are considered after tax and distributions are tax-free if holding period requires are met. So you want to make sure you hold it in at least 5 years. After the five-year period, then you should be fine.
Yep.
Now, when it comes to a rollover IRA, this is also very different. So assuming all contributions to your workplace plan were made with pre-tax dollars, the distributions are taxed at your ordinary income tax rate as well. So again, a rollover is coming from some kind of workplace plan, whether it's a 401k, 403b, we're going to roll it over tax-free, right? But Just because you rolled it over from that plan, it does not mean that you're going to escape the tax world. You're still reliable for any money that comes out of that plan. And unfortunately, that would definitely does go to your tax rate.
So let's talk about Social Security. It is taxed. And if you are single with provisional income above $25,000, or you're married filing jointly above $32,000, and that's just about everybody, that's going to be poverty line type dollars we're talking about there. Some or most of your Social Security benefits will be taxed, Peter?
Definitely. And there's different levels here. We could talk about 50% of that benefit going to be taxed, or up to 85%, believe it or not, is going to be taxed. See, what's happening here is if you're not doing planning between 59 and a half and 73, if you're not doing some kind of a tax plan, you're going to be paying a lot of money in retirement and taxes. Now, what I mean by this is, yes, we spoke about the $25,000 or married at the provisional income above $32,000. Now, keep in mind, the required minimum distribution is what also was attacking those benefits. So the more money you pull out, the more you're going to be spending on taxes, not just on what you're paying on tax from the IRAs, but also on top of Social Securities. So this is how it works. It's all connecting each other, right? And I spoke about this previous at a previous show that we need to make sure we're connecting the pieces of the retirement puzzle together so they're all communicating with each other. But this is so important to understand tax planning between 59 and a half and 73 is crucial.
So let's talk about life insurance cash values, the cash surrender value of your life insurance policy. What do you tell your clients about those?
Yeah, it can generally be accessed tax-free by first withdrawing the premiums that you paid right into it.
Yeah.
The remaining cash value, it can be accessed a tax-free basis as well by treating them as what's called loans, okay?
Ah.
But keep in mind that actually tapping into a policy cash value, of course, is going to reduce the death benefit. So you have to be very careful in regards to what is the ultimate goal for that life insurance.
Let's talk about the pension. Some of you still have it. We hope that you do. But man, that is a dying part of that three-legged stool that we always talk about. If you have a pension, is that money taxed?
I want you to look at the pension just like a retirement account, right? So since most of them are funded with pre-tax dollars, the pre-tax words here, your income will be taxed at your ordinary income rate, okay? So just look at it as a pension, as a retirement tool, a retirement account, just like your 401ks. And unfortunately, yes, it is taxed as ordinary income.
Peter, let's talk about the Medicare surtax. That's not a source of income, but there is a 3.8% Medicare surtax on the lesser of net investment income or adjusted gross income, more than $200,000 for single tax filers and $250,000 for married couples filing jointly. I think that's going to surprise a lot of people. There's a Medicare surtax?
Oh, yeah. They're definitely going to surprise a lot of people for sure. So the surtax applies to, let's say, dividends, capital gains, taxable interest, annuities, of course, or annuity income, also rents, loyalties, distributions from IRAs, and so on and so forth. So this can attack it for sure, even though it's not 100% of it, but a nice good portion of it could be attacked.
And then finally, capital gains and dividends. Those fully taxable investment vehicles are taxed the same whether you are retired or still employed. And let's talk about capital gains. Let's say you're a business owner and you successfully sell your business.
If you're a business owner and you're selling your business, you're going to need what's called an entire team of proper planners, okay? You need your accountants, you need your attorneys, you need your financial planners, but you don't need them separately. You need them together. You need them together as a team, because if you're going to be selling your business, there's a number of different strategies you should be using when it comes to selling the sale of your business, especially depending upon the size of that business, whether it's a one-time lump sum, they're paying you over time for you to start training people over a certain amount of years, or they're giving you a nice long-term pension from that, let's say, that seven-figure buyout, if that happens to be you. So yes, you're going to need plenty of plan in place. You want to understand your tax strategy at that time. And this is more an advanced tax plan.
So what are some of the ways then, going over all of the different ways the government wants your retirement tax money, what are some of the ways, Peter, you help people learn about existing opportunities to save on taxes in retirement? It is so important that you don't leave this to the wind.
You know, you have to understand something. Investments that worked, let's say 10, 15, 20 years ago, or the strategies have worked decades ago, they're just simply not going to work today. Okay, here's a good example. A good example could be, let's say many, many years ago, they told us you can have this beautiful 401k and you're going to get this great tax deduction today. And when you retire, you're going to be in such a lower tax bracket. You're not going to worry about it. You save so much money on taxes. Now, you and I both know, obviously, that didn't work out as planned. Right?
Yeah.
The same scenario when it comes to Social Security. They didn't expect so many people to live so much longer, and now they're trying to fix the system. So things happen, and we have to adapt and change as these things are happening. Okay. So try to make sure you're convincing yourself it is okay to rethink the way it was originally built so you could adapt to today's modern ways of investing, modern ways of planning, because between 59 and a half and 73, we like to call this your golden years, the most opportunities at your fingertips, the most flexibility that you have. So you're not forced at 73 and beyond where you don't have as many benefits that you could have had. So I 100% agree that you should be trying to ask as many questions as possible, making sure you're asking the right questions. And that's why we open our phone calls to you.
1-800-880-8079. And I'll remind our listeners, today's federal income tax rates might be the lowest you will see for the rest of your life. We know that the tax rates went down with the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, but those rates are set to expire in 2026. So it's not a matter of if, but when taxes are going to go up. And I bet just about everybody listening has a few areas where they can become a little more tax efficient with their retirement money. Now is the time to call Peter for help in that arena. 1-800-880-8079 or go to pcbfinancial.com. We are back with so much more straight ahead.
The holidays often remind us how expensive life can be. If you're feeling a bit more financially squeezed this season and worry about how you'll fare in retirement, call Peter at 1-800-880-8079 to have a chat with Peter.
Peter Bambara at PCB Financial often talks about the difference between retirement savings and retirement income. It isn't necessarily how much money you've saved that's important. It's having a steady stream of income in retirement, no matter how long you live. Peter has strategies that can help you create consistent monthly income for the rest of your life. He can help you make important decisions today so you can have the income you need in retirement. Having a big nest egg is great, but how will it provide you with income you need for as long as you live? Call Peter Bambara at PCB Financial to find out. 1-800-880-8079. That's 1-800-880-8079. Turn your portfolio into a plan with help from Peter Bambara. 1-800-880-8079. Investing involves risk. Firm offers insurance services. Investment advisory services offered through PCB Capital, LLC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the program, The Modern Money Show with President of PCB Financial, Peter Bambara. I'm your host, Dana Wright. You can call us at 1-800-880-8079. You can leave us a question at that number because we love going into listener questions and the mailbag at the end of each one of our programs. We're going to do that now. You ready? Rapid fire, Peter.
All right, let's do it.
So question number one. Peter, my husband has been laid off after 27 years of factory work. Sorry to hear that. We had a good amount of money saved in our emergency fund, so we don't need to panic immediately. I think we're fine financially if he retires, but I don't think it will mentally be the right choice right now. Who should we talk to, and what are the questions we should ask? Great question.
Really good question. And you're thinking right. You're thinking right. And I feel that you need a plan in place, right?
Yeah.
So proper communication, obviously, with a planner, okay, not just an investor, but a planner, and making sure you do ask the right questions. Are you an actual financial planner? What kind of plans do you do? Who do you work with? What's your average client age, and so on and so forth? These are all great questions, but it sounds like you definitely need a plan way before he tries to even think about submitting in those forms saying he wants to retire.
Right.
Just making sure you're on track. Because it might be areas that you might have not thought about, right? Such as, I don't know, long-term care, spouse protection, how long is your money going to last? What kind of options you have at work? Do you have any pensions? And so on and so forth. When's the best time to turn on Social Security? So there's a lot of questions to ask for sure. But before you do anything, just make sure you are talking to someone who specializes in retirement for the most part, just to make sure you're able to sleep better at night.
Well, and the good news there is they say they've got a very healthy emergency fund, so we don't need to panic immediately. And I think especially coming out of the pandemic, people really started to see, Peter, we've got to take that emergency fund seriously. We need one. Yeah. We need to fund it. We need to be serious about it. Emergency doesn't mean I want to go on a vacation. It needs to sit there just in case of a layoff. And we saw so many people lose their jobs during the pandemic. So I'm proud of this couple. As bad as it is to be laid off after 27 years, they have a healthy emergency fund. And she says we don't need to panic immediately. And that's what that money's for.
Yes, 100%. I agree.
Question number two. Peter, I inherited an IRA from my father a few months ago. I have no clue what to do with it, even where to start. Your thoughts?
So if you inherit it in an IRA, you know there's a number of things that you have to do. Number one, you can't just leave it there forever.
Right.
Right? So inheriting an IRA, making sure it's in line with your goals now, all right, because maybe your parents were different, but your goals are probably going to be most likely be different. Now you have to understand that you are required to take out something. So you have to make sure that account is depleted pretty much within a 10-year time frame. But making sure the way you take it out could be important, also depending upon if you're working or if you're not working. But this could be stretched out up to 10 years, give or take. But what you do with those monies afterwards, that's all questionable, right? Can you reinvest it? Do you need to pay off your own debt? So there's a number of different things that I would ask you more questions on. But since you inherited an IRA, you're now in control of that IRA. And it's really about what kind of goals you want or what you want that money to do for you at this point.
But they will make you take that money at some point, correct, Peter? And I don't remember what the rules are in that regard. Some of them have like a 10-year window, I believe.
Yeah.
So you need to get with Peter. That is a very important question because you don't want to mess it up. There can be all kinds of penalties if you do. 1-800-880-8079. 1-800-880-8079 to figure out with your specific type of IRA what those rules are, how long you have to decide what to do with it. Here's a whopper of a question, Peter. Is it wrong not to want to leave an inheritance for our kids? They seem to argue all the time over everything, even as adults, and nothing ever seems fair enough. Plus, we paid for braces, college, cars, weddings, and I feel like that should be enough. Woo, that's a good question. I don't want to be at Thanksgiving table at their house.
Look, so that's actually a great question because I don't get that a lot. I don't get that as a question a lot. I get it more on, more as, Peter, this is what we are doing. Okay.
Right.
So my advice to you would pretty much be making sure that you're obviously comfortable. You're taken care of. You're doing all the things you always wanted to do your entire life. You're making sure you have created your bucket list and you're checking off those items on that bucket list. And look, if you happen to have the proper preservation plan in place where you're able to preserve your wealth and continue to grow it and you not outlive it, then great. Then you got some money left over. So I'm not saying that in the sense of you definitely don't want to neglect your beneficiary approach, making sure those are properly listed. You always want to make sure that's in place. But making sure you enjoy yourself is the key. The second benefit would be if you have assets left over, great, go to your beneficiaries. But there's absolutely nothing wrong that you want to spend as much of your investments in your savings on yourself to enjoy your lifestyle. Nothing wrong with that.
It's your money. And I bet I have, you could say, Peter, I bet you have clients come to you and say, we want to pass our inheritance down to our grandchildren or set up college funds or trust for the grandkids.
Oh, yeah. It's without a doubt. We have a number of folks that have 529 plans and college savings plans. There are some folks, believe it or not, that have their own personal accounts for their grandchildren, you know, and then they have other people that say, I want to give it away as I'm alive. So everybody is different. Everyone's unique in their own way.
And then, Peter, this question, what are some good resources to help me learn about my options for Social Security? And you've said this time and time again on this program, Peter, you can go to SSI.gov. They can point you in a direction. They can no longer give you advice. So what do you tell your clients with respect to Social Security and how they figure that maze out if they don't have someone like yourself in their corner?
So you definitely want someone like me in your corner to help you and guide
so
you.
So confusing. The whole thing is a maze.
Yeah, no, it's too much. It's way too much information for the average person. And if this is not what you do all day, every day, don't try to reinvent the wheel. You know, don't reinvent the wheel. Give us a call. But a couple of things here. Definitely go on SSI.gov. Get as much information as you possibly can. Definitely download your report and make sure you keep on downloading those reports consistently over time, as those numbers will probably most likely change. Two other areas to go to is one, themodernmoneyshow.com. themodernmoneyshow.com. I got about 5 reports on that site, and the last report is actually a Social Security report. You could download that. It's complimentary. There's no cost to it. It's a PDF. And also, if you want a copy of my my book, Modern Money, give me a call, 800-880-8079. Give me a call, and I'll mail you out a copy. I do have, I believe it's 1 or 2 chapters on Social Security. So the more information, the better. But when it comes to specifics and the strategies around it, we have to use calculators and softwares, because even me doing this all day, every day, I still trust the calculators and the softwares to give me those options, because they do the math so much faster.
So I know you are part marriage counselor sometimes when you meet with couples. And man, this next question from our listeners really gets to the heart of that. It says, Peter, my husband and I don't seem to be on the same page when it comes to our retirement. Do you meet with very many couples in a situation like ours, or should we try to resolve all of our issues before meeting with a financial planner? Now, they don't say what those issues are, but let's just say generally, when they say we're not on the same page when it comes to our retirement, Peter, that could mean a lot of things, like financially they're not on the same page, goals in life, in retirement, they're not on the same page. I'm sure you see this with couples.
Believe it or not, it's like 50-50. Yeah, believe it or not, it's 50-50. So no one should be ashamed, okay? This is normal, all right? This is just part of life. No one should be ashamed. But believe it or not, when you're talking to an advisor or someone like myself, my job is also to share with you, after asking you the right questions, of course, sharing with you the options, right? The options that we can actually mix both concerns together into one big pool and come out with a great outcome.
Yep.
So whatever the concerns are, whatever the issues are, it's probably most likely something I've heard before.
Yeah.
So unless it's extremely, extremely out of the ballpark, okay, that's fine. Please come in and test me. But don't be ashamed in any concerns that you may have, because that's what we're here. We're here to solve problems.
Let me just give you an example. Let's say she wants to hop in an RV and travel the world for a year, and he wants to go to Bora Bora. You know, that's not necessarily, you're not, you know, a licensed marriage counselor, but you can also help them see if you guys come to a compromise, this is what financially you could afford to do.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's probably why you're still together, because you help complement, you know, the things that you want to do and things that you don't want to do, and you come together so as an agreement. So you made it this far, right? So let's plan the next 20, 30 years together. And let's see, we could meet in the middle somewhere. I'm sure it's not that serious.
Do you mandate, Peter, that people come in together as a couple?
I think this would be very
hard to do with just one spouse.
No, you have to come into together. And even when you say, yeah, but I take care of all the finances, that's fine, but I don't care. I think it's very important you both understand what's happening, because the last I checked, okay, no one lives forever, right? So if you're in charge of your finances, that's even more important to make sure you're both on the same page, because something happens to you, what are you leaving behind? Are you leaving a disaster? Yeah. Are you leaving total chaos? Are you leaving things everywhere? Only you know where it is and not everyone else. So it's so important to make sure everybody's on the same page.
Very, very important final question, Peter. She says, I am really worried about what would happen if I were to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I have watched several people in my family suffer from it, and it scares me. How do I get all of the big financial decisions taken care of in the event this were to happen to me too? It is a great question. Big family history here of Alzheimer's, Peter. How do you counsel a client like that to get their financial decisions in order?
Oh, yeah. So first off, you want to do this as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't, if you're starting to see some signs, without a doubt, you have to do this as soon as possible. But if you don't see signs just yet, it's even better. So making sure you're putting these things together, putting the planning together as fast as possible is crucial. That's number one. Number two, you also want to have someone that you trust with you as a backup. So in the event something does happen, and you're starting to not remember as much, you want to rely on someone else, not just a financial planner, but also another person that you truly, truly, truly trust, whether it's a family member or a very, very dear close friend since childhood, someone that you trust besides. So just so you have a number of different people that's helping you and guiding you, because you don't want to do this alone, and you don't want to do this trusting just one person, such as your advisor. Because it's also an uncomfortable relationship, because if your advisor is feeling that this is what you said, but this is what you want now, and it's totally different than what you wanted, is this because you're not thinking straight, or could you be sick? So there's a number of different things that you want to do, but I kid you not, you want to do this as soon as possible.
And Peter, I would also, wherever you're listening, reach out to the local Alzheimer's Association. They can also help you. They have all kinds of resources to help you in that regard as well.
Correct.
1-800-880-8079 is the number. You can find us at pcbfinancial.com. We want to thank you for joining us every single week on the Modern Money Show program. Peter, thank you as always for weighing in on these important topics. Make it a great week, Peter.
Make it a great week. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to Modern Money with Peter Bambara. If you have any questions that come to mind, Peter would be happy to answer them. Just give him a call at 1-800-880-8079. That's 1-800-880-8079. PCB Financial Advisory Group, LLC is an independent financial services firm that utilizes a variety of investment and insurance products. Investment advisory services offered through PCB Capital, LLC. Insurance products offered through PCB Financial Group, LLC. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual's situation. PCB Financial Advisory Group, LLC is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during this show shall constitute tax or legal advice. Our firm is not affiliated with or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by PCB Financial Advisory Group, LLC. This radio show is a paid placement.